Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. No, I'm not Teresa Shuler, in case anybody didn't know that. Okay. If you'll open your bulletins, can't see anything in here that we probably need to talk about. Unless, Larry, you know something we need to talk about.
Next Sunday, they're promoting a Full House Sunday. A Full House Sunday, every member and constituent, as we call it, if you're not a member. And they had to have a good name for you, and that sounds important. And we knew that Labor Day is a down Sunday for many churches, as are many more through the year. And trying to get as many people in worship as we can.
Okay.
So just pray about it, bring a neighbor. We are going to have Friend Day in October, and we'll really promote that and send you, encourage you to bring a friend.
Okay. You'll put on your calendar, October 3rd is our Appreciation Day potluck dinner. We'll be talking a little bit more about that over the next several Sundays. It looks like Wednesday night dinner starts September 8th at 6. Please let somebody know you're coming if you are.
That is
just what you do. Yes. Okay. Any first time visitors? If you pass out the registration books, please sign them. November.
Bazaar items for a bazaar.
Okay.
2 months. Okay. From tomorrow.
If you're willing to help, please see Miss Becky Leonard. Okay. Any prayer concerns?
People in Florida, and somebody's granddad and mom are there. Jeff, are your parents in Florida? No, they're not. Your parents are, okay.
My dad is, yeah. Where we don't know.
Okay.
And we keep the test moving from one nursing home to another.
Okay.
And,
well, it's not as bad as they thought, but it's bad.
It's bad.
Yeah. Okay. If you'll take some time to bow your head and prepare yourself for worship, remembering the ones that are on our prayer list. Call to worship this morning is responsive. You'll open your bulletins. Oh God, you forsake not your people, nor abandon your heritage. Justice will return to the righteous, for the upright to follow.
You have become a
we worship God who brings comfort and hope.
Well, it is good to see you on a holiday weekend. Why don't you stand and we'll sing a good song of the church, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let's do all four verses.
Father, we bow before you as your humble people. Lord, we know that you are Lord of all, and we know that it's up to us to make you our personal Lord, or to personally declare you Lord of our lives. Lord, we thank you that you want us to be in numbered among your people. We thank you, Father, that you have redeemed us, ransomed us from the fall that your creation experienced, even with the first man and the first woman. And Lord, as we come together this morning, we pray that you will continue to teach us how to live in such a manner that we can always bring honor and glory to you. That you will be Lord of our life. That you will be number one. That you will be at the center. Again, thank you for the privilege of being your people. Thank you for the privilege of being in a house of worship, to worship you in truth and in spirit. And may we truly do that as you direct us this day. Speak to us, speak through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you.
Right across the page is, Jesus, we just want to thank you. Let's do the first, second, and the third verse.
Jesus.
7:16, we'll say in unison our statement of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Turn to page 499. Let's do the first and the last verse. Sunshine in my soul.
Sentence this morning is a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. May our ushers come forward, please.
Thank you for everything you have given us, and you ask for so this back to you. Hope that it is used to further the work of the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And Bill will assist. Ed and Roger. Apostle Paul writing concerning the Lord's Supper, instructions to the church at Corinth. Great instructions for us. Chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, verse 23 and following. Paul writes, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes.'" So we want to remember, but we also want to show forth the Lord's death, that it is for us, for the payment for our sin. Jesus' broken body and shed blood. Let us offer thanks for the bread that represents the body of Christ. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that you love us. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us enough that you gave your Son to die on our behalf. But Lord, we rejoice that death was not the end, that this Son, Jesus, overcame death and the grave, and you raised him up to new life and set him on a path to show that we too could die to self and be raised to new life in service for you. Lord, we remember that you received him into heaven on a cloud. Lord, you have promised the same for your children, and we thank you for that hope that is ours through our faith in you. Lord, we pray that you will bless this bread And let it be for us, each one of us, Christ's body, broken for us. The cup, the fruit of the vine, representing the shed blood. Matthew's gospel says, shed for the remission of the sins of many. We remember his shed blood, shed for us, shed for you, shed for me. Lord, bless this cup. Thank you for taking our sins away. Lord, we don't understand how crimson blood can wash us and make us white as snow. But we don't have to. Because that's your work. We're just submissive to you. And we thank you. We do trust. We do believe. And we do hope. Thank you for taking our sin away. Redeeming us. Forgiving us. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. Elders, will you serve the people? Thank you.
Again, our Father, we offer thanks and praise to you. I believe we have two readers. Andrew, are you reading a portion and Jeff reading a portion? Or Nikki is reading a portion. Okay.
I'll read today from Philemon 4:22. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me, so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers.
Luke 14:25-33. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to him, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and has not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is able to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation with while the other is still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." The word of God for people of God.
Praise be to God. Thank you, Jeff.
Martin Luther, the one whose name is attached to the Lutheran Church, a priest, quite a rebellious man, or we would not have a Lutheran Church. He is quoted as saying, "A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing." Think about it. A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, suffers nothing, that religion is worth nothing. How much is being a Christian cost you? On your outline sheet, does everybody have an outline sheet? It was mentioned the other day that everybody didn't get one. Everybody get an outline sheet? Was it stuck in your bulletin? Or did you not get one? Would you take one? I want you to do something for me. Not stand up and do exercises or side straddle hops, but I'd like for you to stand up and I would like for you to remain seated. Take a pencil and list. I'm going to say three things. That's the magic number. I think on this row, maybe another row. Three things. Three things that you have sacrificed for Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Now, you may not want to list them all right now. They may come to you. They may come to you during the sermon. They may not. Are crosses that you have borne or that you are bearing. And you can do that on the back because the front page this time is quite full. I'm not sure that you can follow this sermon without this very well. Three things that you have sacrificed for Jesus Christ. Just think about it. Lord, reveal to me those things. Or three crosses that you have borne, or maybe are bearing. Yesterday, boy, this was a Saturday special sermon. Now, yesterday, it dwelled heavy on me to remember John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus is talking to a rather large group of disciples and a rather large group of disciples. They're called disciples at that time, are following Him. Or at least they are listening to Him. And in John chapter 6, we find down in the chapter after he talked about eating his body and drinking his blood, not literally but symbolically, some of them said, "Who is this guy?" And then some of them said, "This is a hard saying." And then we read that many of his disciples, and they had joined up with him, turned away and deserted him, or they're called disciples there. Many who were following Jesus turned away and deserted him. They left. More than once in the Scriptures, quite a number of times, Jesus spoke of it being a difficult life being His disciple. In other words, He was saying, if you're going to follow Me, it's not always going to be easy. There are some rewards, but it's not always going to be easy. Quite frankly, He said, it's going to be tough.
It's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of bearing a cross. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, he spoke of the necessity of taking up a cross, taking up an instrument of torture, and following him. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. There is this event of the rich young ruler. We learned at the end that he was very rich. He was coming to Jesus and asking. One version, I think the Living Bible paraphrases it, said, "What must I do to get to heaven?" And Jesus told him to sell his goods and give the money to the poor, and that he would have treasures in heaven. And then Jesus said, "Come, follow me. Come and follow me." And you've heard the story, I trust. You can read it in Mark 10 if you would like. If you don't remember it, the man went away sadly, or one version says sorrowful, for he was very rich. It might be interesting to note how all of the 12, or 11 of the 12 of Jesus' disciples died. Now, we can't prove this, but it's a part of history. Andrew died on a cross. Simon, not Simon Peter, Simon was crucified. That would be dying on a cross. Bartholomew, he was flayed alive. James, the son of Zebedee, John's brother, beheaded. James, the other one, I think his son of Alphaeus, if I got that one right, he was beaten to death. Thomas, he was run through with a lance. Matthias, the one that replaced Judas, found it in the first chapter of Acts, stoned and then beheaded. Matthew, slain by a sword. Simon Peter, crucified, but he didn't feel worthy to be crucified like Jesus had been, so he requested to be crucified upside down. Thaddeus, shot with arrows. Philip, hanged. And what happened to John, the beloved disciple? He was banished to an island. We don't know how he died. It seemed he died as an old man. But he was banished to the Isle of Patmos, where he had strange visions to us. That's very meaningful to him. And I read that and I say, wow, that's a tough life. Who would want to follow Jesus if that's what you could expect? Through history, it's been just as tough. Burned at stake, run out of town, ridiculed, beaten,
There is one promise in Matthew, in Mark chapter 10, verse 28 through 30. Jesus was talking to the disciples about leaving all and following Him and sacrifice and taking up crosses. And the Apostle Peter says, what's in it for us? Would you like to turn and read that? Mark chapter 10, 28 and 30. Let me just read that. Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. We've left. We've sacrificed. We've taken up our cross. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife and children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. So, in order to inherit eternal life, to gain the presence of God in heaven, these men, knowing what it was like, were willing to follow Jesus anyway. They had watched their master be hung or hanged. I believe this is correct. To be hanged. And still, they preached the gospel. They were arrested. Told not to preach anymore. They preached anyway. Luke chapter 14, verse 25 through verse 33. Jesus is speaking to the disciples of the necessity of those who would follow Him, that it was necessary for them to be willing to give up all for Jesus. Luke 9:23, Mark 8:34, Matthew 16:24. All three of these have Jesus calling His disciples to cross-bearing. Mark recorded it, Matthew recorded it, Luke recorded it. All three of these have Jesus calling for those who would follow Him to a life of self-denial. We have many presentations of the gospel and saying if you turn your life over to Jesus, you'll be rich. Jesus don't promise that. Only says look out for cross-bearing and persecutions. Sacrifice. Jesus talks of cross-bearing to the disciples, but He also tells His disciples that He is going to suffer. They, like modern-day people, did not want to hear about bearing a cross. The Apostle Peter would argue with him. Jesus said, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be spit on and ridiculed and then hang from a cross. And guess what? Peter would say, oh, that's not going to happen to you, Jesus. That's not going to happen to you. Jesus said to him, called him Satan. That was Satan talking. Get behind me, Satan. I want to make one comment about the call to hate. There are many explanations of this word. I'm not sure what is exactly right. But we do know that Jesus took special care of His mother. He made provisions for her even while He was on the cross. And we know that Jesus teaches us throughout the Scriptures to take care of those people in need. And we know also that Jesus teaches care for the family. In Mark's Gospel, some people were not helping their parents because they were saying, we had to give it to the synagogue. And Jesus says, you ought to give to the synagogue, but you also ought to help your needy parents. And then we run across this word that if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to hate. One translation translates this word love less. Unless you love your closest family members less than you love me. What Jesus was calling for was preeminence in our lives. The number one spot. Unless we love less. If any earthly attachment stands in the way of God's kingdom and our work in God's kingdom, we cannot avoid the choice. Jesus calls on us to turn our back on these attachments. Like He called the rich young ruler. He could see in his heart, I am convinced that he could see in his heart that the rich young ruler was not really serious, that he wanted those things in this life, the earthly life, more than he wanted a spot in heaven. And Jesus is saying, if these are preeminent in your life, if things, relationships, even family, come before me and God, they're in the way. You need to turn your back on them. You need to turn your back on these things that would hinder us in serving God or keep us from serving God, or we turn our backs on the kingdom. We must know, as one has put it, discipleship demands a price. And those who seek to be a disciple of Jesus must be ready to pay the price. Now, how is your list going? Your list of three. Or maybe you've got six already. Or maybe you don't have any. The three things where you have made a great sacrifice. Three experiences where you have borne a cross for the sake of the kingdom of God. Philemon. Philemon was a wealthy Christian. And he was a slave owner. He owned one person at least named Onesimus. But Onesimus is a runaway. He's a runaway slave. And he has run to the Apostle Paul. It might have been by choice, or it might have been by chance. But Paul had been to Philemon's house or had had contact with him somewhere, and Philemon had become a disciple of Jesus. He had become a believer. He had trusted in Jesus, but he still held on to his slave. That had something to do with the society that he lived in. But somehow, Philemon got to Paul, the Apostle Paul. And Onesimus, the runaway slave who had got to Paul, he became a Christian himself. It appears from reading the letter that it was Philemon became the Christian first, the slave ran away and got to Paul some way, and then he became a Christian. Paul was in chains, in jail. And Paul writes to Philemon and telling him, I'm sending your slave home. I'm sending him back. I'm sending him back, and he's going to deliver this letter. And as you notice, if you read the letter in its entirety, we read most of it this morning. If you read the letter in its entirety, Paul never says to Philemon, you must free Onesimus. He never offers judgment for him owning a slave. Or even, he never says anything judgmental about slave ownership. Today, you and I would not think of owning another person, and we certainly would not want to be owned by another person, would we? We just wouldn't think of it. It's not a part of our society. It's not a part of Christianity as we see it. But that kind of thinking took 1,800 years to find its spot in these United States. 1,800 years to develop in the U.S. Other countries still haven't gotten it yet. Now, in the letter, in this letter to Philemon from Paul, Paul points out that this formerly useless slave is now useful to both of them. And that's one thing that happened because he became a Christian. He was a useless slave to start with, especially if he had run off, he was a useless slave, wasn't he? And he says now he is useful to both of us. And Paul asked for Philemon's generosity. Be generous to him. Be nice to him when he comes home. And if I understand it correctly, a slave owner, especially if it was a Roman situation in the Roman community, he could do anything he wanted to his slave. He could brand him. He could kill him if he wanted to. But Paul asked for Philemon to be generous, to be kind to this returning slave. And this request is not merely suggested as a personal favor, but it is grounded upon the recognition that Onesimus is now a beloved brother. He is not just a slave. He is now a Christian who happens to be a slave. And they're brothers. And before Christ, they're equal. He is a brother of Paul, but he is also a brother of his owner in Christ. And he says in the flesh as well as in Christ. In the flesh and in the Lord. Now, one thing I do notice, and I hope you'll notice, Paul is not above reminding Philemon of the great debt that he, Philemon, owes to Paul. He says, I want to remind you, buddy, you need to be good to this guy because you owe your very soul to me. You owe me a debt. You owe it to me. But he didn't demand that he pay it. He asked him to pay it. He asked him to pay it by being good to this new brother in Christ, Onesimus. Now, what cross did Philemon have to bear? What cross did Philemon have to bear? And one, he had to forgive Onesimus. Forgiveness. We talk about it a lot in the church. We preach about it a lot. We pray about it a lot for our forgiveness. But what about our forgiving others? And they're connected. And Jesus said they're connected. And here we see them being connected. You're a brother in Christ. And as a brother in Christ, a fellow Christian, I call on you to... He doesn't say it, but it's in there. If he sends him back and doesn't harm him in any way, he's going to have to forgive him, isn't he? And then there is the cross, and it would be a cross to bear. How can I receive my slave who has run away? How can I receive him back and forgive him for running off? Well, I'm legally I can brand him. But Paul reminds Philemon that he owes him a debt. That Philemon owes Paul a debt. So forgiveness. This is a real cross to bear. It's a real cross to bear for some of us when we are called upon to forgive people who have wronged us. It's a real sacrifice in so many situations. Did Onesimus deserve forgiveness? Probably not. Should he be made to suffer legally? Yes. Should he be made to pay for his actions? Yes. But Paul is saying you need to forgive. And he is saying also another cross that you must bear, Philemon, is accept him. Accept him as a brother. A slave who is now your equal. And when you walk in the church doors, but you don't just do it in the church doors, do you? When they didn't have churches, they met in houses. Probably were meeting in Philemon's house. He had a large house, rich man, probably had a large house, probably had a large room, and would invite the church in to meet there. Accept him as a brother. But he was my slave. Doesn't matter. Accept him. And then there is the cross to bear to humble himself. The time gets away. To humble himself. And this applies to both Philemon and to Onesimus. That was a cross to bear. Wow, it's tough to be humble, isn't it? As Mac Davis used to say, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. But we're not perfect. Davis was just a little confused there, wasn't he? Humble yourself. Both Philemon and Onesimus. Philemon was called on to humble himself to take his former slave back as a brother. That was a cross to bear. That was a great sacrifice to make. And then Onesimus, he had to humble himself and go back and offer himself again. You know, head bowed, daddy, I've done wrong. Wife, I've done wrong. Humble yourself. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their land and heal their land. I think I got mixed up back there on the last. That's why I make notes. Didn't write that down. Okay. Philemon, though, notice he is left to decide his own course of action. Paul leaves it up to him. He doesn't demand a thing. He gives him free choice. He leaves it up to him. It's his decision whether to merely refrain from punishing or to free him or to accept him as a fellow evangelist. And then Paul makes a suggestion that he could send him back to Paul as a friend. What cross do you need to take up in your life? What crosses is God calling on you to take up and bear today? What sacrifices is God calling on you to make for His kingdom? What crosses is He calling on you to make concerning your home? What crosses is He calling on you, or sacrifices is He calling on you to make at work? 379 is the song, and let's sing one verse.
379. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Can we start as a cappella? Dennis is coming. Bless and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you strength and courage to bear the crosses that you need to bear for His kingdom. You're dismissed. Yeah, brings it back, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's okay to breathe again.
No.
But it's okay, yeah.
Me and Joe's friend that come and have that revival, the minister from,
where
is she from?
Mount Vernon. Rockvale, Mount Vernon.
She's saying that